Good morning. Today's Daf Menachos is Kuf Tes. We are 2 days remaining from finishing the Masechta. We are in the Mishnah on Kuf Ches Amud Beis, and the Mishnah begins. Hamar Echad Mi Mikvasai Hekte. So a person makes dedication, and he says that one of my lambs are going to be consecrated and be brought as a Bekarban. Ve'echad Mishari Hekdesh. And or instead of saying one of his lambs, he says one of his oxen. Okay, good. So he's got a little bit of a surplus of animals that year, and he decides he's going to dedicate one of his lambs, one of his oxen. Vayu shnayim. So hagadol shebem hekdesh. So and he has two of them. So which one now becomes hekdesh? So hagadol shebem. So the larger of the two are going to be hekdesh. Now the basic idea, which we're going to see together in the Gemara, is that generally speaking, look, without specification, so we're going to have to make our best guess in terms of which one you dedicated. Now, if you had something in mind, or if you articulated it, well, let me take that back. If you had something in mind, so that's what's called dvarim shebelev. That's referred to things that are in the heart, and dvarim shebelev in dvarim. And generally speaking, the rule is that things that you have in the heart are simply disregarded. Meaning, you didn't say it, you didn't articulate it, so we don't know. So over here, so you pointed to your animals, and you didn't even point. You just simply said that one of my animals is going to belong to Hekdesh. So which of the two did you mean? The larger one or the smaller one? So generally speaking, when a person is makdish something, so that means that it's a religious moment, if you will. And people typically tend to have a more generous perspective when making these kinds of donations to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not even a donation, by the way. It's a karbon. He's offering it as a karbon. So generally speaking, the thinking is that he's going to go with the larger animal. Because when a person is makdish be'ayin yafeh hu makdish, a person generally has a more generous disposition. Generally, the next part of the Mishnah, however, will seem to be somewhat problematic because shlosha. Let's say instead of having two animals, he has three animals. So which one do you go with? So ben nishem em hektish. So the Mishnah says something which at this point sounds confounding, and that is we're going to go with the middle sized animal. All right, take the average. Right, not the small one, not the big one, but the middle one, which is, as the old story goes, just right. Now, obviously, putting the first part of the mission together with this part of the mission together is going to be difficult. Because in the first part of the mission, we learned that, generally speaking, that a person is makdish b'ayin yafeh. Over here, what does that mean? A person is makdish, he does so b'ayin beinuni. So, obviously, this needs clarification. We're going to see clarification when we get to the Gemara. Peirashi v'ni yodea mashi peirashi. So let's say the person says, look, I know I pointed to one of the animals. I know I designated one of the animals, but again, common theme throughout this perek, my memory has failed me. I simply don't remember which one, but I remember enough. And by the way, total failure of memory. Because I remember enough to know that I said one of them, but now I'm not remembering which one I said. Oshamar li abba ve'ini yodea ma. Or let's say my father dedicated one of the animals, but unfortunately, Rachmanus, my father passed away before I was able to hear from him which one it was. So we know it's one of the animals, we just don't know which one. So Agadol Shebem Hekdesh, so the largest of them becomes Hekdesh.
Why not sacrificing all of them?
Hold on. No, that's the right question.
Oh. Why isn't it all of them?
Yeah, good. Both of you are asking the right question. Okay, good. So let's wait as the Gemara is going to be asking that as well. Makdish Bayin Ra Makdish. I'm sorry. Skip the line. Alma Makdish Bayin Yafeh Makdish. So the Gemara starts off with an observation, the first line, which we already made the observation, but good, we set ourselves up for the Gemara's question. And the first case of the Mishnah where there are two animals and you didn't specify which one, so you're, by design, generally speaking, going to be Makdish, the larger one, because a person's more generous in that kind of situation. But Ema Seifa, Bein Ishabem Makdish. Alma Makdish Bayin Ra Makdish. But then you go to the next case, where in the next case, it's Bayin Ra. Now, the Gemara doesn't mean literally Ayin Ra, because if we really meant Ayin Ra, so we would go all the way down to the smallest animal. It certainly, however, from the next case of the Mishnah, means that we're not using Ayin Yafeh. So in the first case of the Mishnah, we're using the principle of Ayin Yafeh. In the second case of the Mishnah, we're not using the principle of Ayin Yafeh. It's a problem. So Amar Shmuel Choshishin Af Lebeinoni. Delegabikatan Ayin Yafehu. So Shmuel gives a solution, and it's perfect. Shmuel says, look, certainly the largest animal is going to be hektish and you have to offer that as a carbon. But here's my concern. If there are three animals, I'm also going to say that the middle animal as well is going to be a carbon. Because look, a person is makdish b'ayin yafeh. Over here, what does ayin yafeh mean? Meaning, I'm going to go with a larger animal. Maybe not the largest, but a larger animal. I got three. So we could certainly knock out the smallest one because that was not in my declaration of hektish. But what about number two? What about number three? I'm sorry, what about number two? What about number one? I'm sorry if I'm confusing you in terms of giving each one of them numbers. What about the middle one? What about the largest one? So there are two possibilities in terms of which one could have been offered. Because the middle one, although it's not the largest, but it's certainly larger than the smallest one, good. So Shmuel says that's how to understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says the middle one, it means even the middle one. So Hechi Avit, so the Gemara says, so what do you do? Meaning, look, you're not going to bring both of them as a carbon because even in your statement, you said, I'm going to be Makdish one of them. So I understand now that there are two candidates that could be. It could either be middle or it could be the largest. Good. But I'm not going to offer both of them because his declaration was only on one carbon. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Barav, Mamtim La Shumam, Umachal Leilatush Asei, Begadol. So the Gemara says, fine, so what you're going to do is you're going to wait till the middle one gets a blemish, and you're going to redeem it. If it requires redemption, and how are you going to redeem it? With the larger animal, with the largest animal, and perfect. So in other words, Mimanoshach, if the largest one is the one that you dedicated, so then the pigeon wasn't necessary at all. If the middle one was the one that was consecrated, and now you redeemed it onto the larger animal, perfect as well. In other words, so it's a way to solve the problem. So then that wouldn't be such a... Right, so solution has failed. But at least the Gemara is proposing a solution of what to do. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravul, Oshanu Elad Amar, Echad Mishvari Hektesh. Ava Amar, Shur Bishvari Hektesh, Hagarosh Behem Hektesh. So, Turah B'Turai Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's really fine-tune the language over here. In the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where he said Echad Mishvari. However, if he said Shur Bishvari, he said the ox of my oxen. So in lingua franca, in the way that language is generally understood, what do you mean by that is the best of the animal, and it's going to be the largest of the animal. And no ambiguity. So the Gemara says, was that really true of Amar Rav Huna? Amar Rabbi Chiya Mishmei De'ula. Now the Gemara over here is going to compare the halachas of Hektish to the halachas of commerce of buying and selling. Now, ultimately, what the Gemara is going to do, and we don't have to wait that long, because it's really going to happen on the top of the next Amud. But ultimately, what the Gemara is going to do is, let's not make the comparison. Let's not compare a person being Makdish and a person doing commercial activity with another person. They're different. But before we get to that point, what the Gemara right now is thinking is, it's not different, and so therefore, let's compare the two. And if we're going to compare the two, it seems like we're going to fall short in terms of understanding. Now, the Gemara says, consider, how mele chaver abayis bevesi eni mochilach. Let's say there is a commercial transaction between a commercial, I don't here mean in the modern sense of like commercial versus residential. I just simply mean there's a transaction between one person and another. And look, I have a number of properties. I'm going to sell you one of my properties. Now, granted, by the way, there should be a little bit more clarity in terms of what I'm selling you. Meaning if I have multiple properties and you're buying one of them, wouldn't you like to know which property you're buying? And wouldn't we make that point clear? And of course, the answer to all that is yes, of course. But we're dealing with a scenario where there is some ambiguity in the language of the contract or in the language of the give and take. And so now we're looking afterwards to seek that clarity, which of course should have been sought before we started all this. But anyway. Obviously, they should have been more clear at the front end rather than trying to untangle the mess at the back end. But okay. So you know what? I'm going to sell you a house of my houses. Okay, so one of my properties. Okay, you're good with that? Yeah. So Mareo Aliyah. So now, transactions over. Money has been transacted. And now, come, let me show you what you bought. And now what I can show him is the second floor of the building. Now, the Gemara is assuming right now that the second floor is not as good as the first floor. First floor is easier access. It's better. And meanwhile, I'm in the driver's seat and I can direct him to which property it is that he bought, even though it's not the best property. Now, the language over here that was employed was buys by VC. I'm selling you buys by VC. Now, if we're going to compare languages to what we just learned a moment ago, shor bisharai, so we said shor bisharai means the choicest, it means the best. And over here, we're not understanding it that way. We're understanding it as secondary. So, la mishum degria, ma'ula shebebatim. So the Gemara says, at this point in time, what the Gemara is going to try to argue is that it's not secondary, but it really is the best. Meisvei. Now, although we defended it, the Gemara says, look, we're going to get stuck. Because consider, shor bishvari hektesh, v'chein shor shal hektesh, nisar v'acherim, ha-gadol shebehem hektesh. So if a person makes a declaration that an ox of my oxen are going to belong to hektesh, or shor shal hektesh, nisar v'acherim, ha-gadol shebehem hektesh. So the largest one is going to be hektesh. V'kulam yimkur l'tzarchi olos, v'demehem chulin. Now all of them are going to be sold for the purposes of Ola, and the value of them is going to be chulin because only one of them belongs to Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Tirgama Ashur. So the Gemara says, Tirgama Ashur. So the Gemara says, okay, but that last point that it's going to be the best is only going on the first case, not on the second case. Tirgama Ashur shall Hekdesh and Isar Be'acherim. That's going on the second case, not the first case. V'chein, the Gemara says, yeah, but when the Brisa strung these two cases together, it connected it with the word v'chein. So v'chein kamar tirgama agadol. No, it just simply means that the largest animal went in, but not, the cases are not necessarily the same. Meitzvei. Again, the Gemara challenges based on another Brisa. V'ayis beveisi ani mochalach v'nafal maru nafal. Eved ba'avdi ani mochalach meis maru meis. So the Gemara says, look, if let's say we transact, I sold you a house, and you bought a house, and one of my houses collapsed. Let's assume right now the house collapsed even before the transaction occurred. But in any event, what I could do is, even though the language that I use is bais beveisi, I'll just simply show them the collapsed house. Here's what you bought. And eved ba'avdi, I'm going to sell you one of my slaves, and it happens to be that one of them died, so I'll show him the mace. Now there, I can certainly hear an argument of mekach tos. But again, the purpose of the point of the Braisa is it doesn't have to be the best, even though the language was Bais Bevesi or Eved Be'avdai. Ve'amai lechzei haydan nafal haydan meis. So the Gemara says, so why don't we just simply why don't we find out if it was the largest house that fell, if it was the best Eved that died? Meaning, isn't the language that we've said Eved Be'avdi and Bais Bevesi, isn't that identify that it's the best house or the best Eved? And what are we doing over here with this kind of ambiguity? So the Gemara finally, so to say, wakes up to the fact that what we're trying to do is compare apples to oranges. And so here the Gemara now makes a discovery. Lokech kamar, shani lokech di yad balashar ala tachtona. So the Gemara says, let's not compare. We're comparing now a person being makdish something versus a transaction. And the Gemara says, when talking about a transaction, so there are two parties involved. And when there are two parties involved, who's in the driver's seat? And the answer is that the seller is in the driver's seat, and the buyer is yado ala tachtona. When it comes to the buyer, the way the Gemara describes it is that his hand is, he's got the lower hand. We even in English, we use the same kind of expression. Yado ala tachtona. Hashadasus achi afilotem aliyah degriya yad balashar tachtona. And now that we woke up, so to say, to this kind of distinction, so then we can go back to the braces that we quoted earlier, and all the questions now are resolved. Because when we had the case of, I sold you a property and I'm showing you now the second floor as opposed to the first floor, yeah, because that's a transaction between a buyer and a seller. And when having a transaction between a buyer and seller, yadal tachtona, the buyer has a lower hand. And if it wasn't clarified at the front end of the transaction which property it was, so then I show him whichever property I see fit that he wants to have. Why should this be? We all know the reason why. Rashi over here spells it out. Right, Rashi on the top of the Amud Balashtar Kigon Hailokech Sheba Bishtar Mechira Yado Al Tachtona Dave Motzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. So Rashi over here gives us a tried and true rule that we see time and again throughout Shas, and that's the following. Look, right now I am parting with property of mine, and there is ambiguity in the language of the contract. So now, when I sell him something, and it wasn't perfectly clear, so now he's trying to take something away from me. Now, granted, he's paying. And I understand that certainly is a consideration. It's a serious consideration. It's why we're here. It's why we're transacting. But in terms of him taking something away from me, even though he's buying it, even though he's paying for it, hamotzi mechaveir al avaraya, with any ambiguity that exists in the contract, the burden of proof that this is what I sold him as opposed to that, the burden of proof is on him. And without absolute raya, without an absolute proof, and where there is now an option of me to go either with A or B, and both of them would be legitimate ways of explaining the language of the contract, so I can go with whichever one I want, and he's got the lower hand on this front, as opposed to when a person's being mocked-ish. So when a person's being mocked-ish, so it's not a transaction, although yes, we are moving something from my domain to Akash Baruch Hu's domain. But it is not a buyer and seller. It is viewed differently. And so therefore, when a person's makdish, buying yafeh, who makdish? And that's the easiest way to resolve all these dilemmas and issues. It's interesting that the Gemara takes a little bit of time before it got to this resolution, which, you know, we've been doing this for a while. So Baruch Hashem. So like for us, it's like, you know, the solution seemed obvious, but the Gemara tried to give other ways of coming up with a resolution between the two.
What about the question of not, why not doing one for all of them? Doing sacrifice of all of them, all three. The question was, why not all three of them?
No, so we've resolved that as well, meaning that when you said the Gadol Shebahem, it could even be the middle one, because the middle one's bigger than the smaller one. So fine, so in other words, so it's going to be either the largest or the middle, one of those two. And then how do you figure out which one to offer? So the Gemara gave a suggestion / solution in terms of how to deal with that.
No, but when you say my father, this is Magdish.
If he specified one of them.
All three of them, I mean.
Because
we don't know which one. So
there we legitimately don't know. It could have been each one. So why don't we assume that it was the largest? I kind of hear that, but all right. Let's go.
Assuming that the father was lying to him also.
True. But in other words, but the father did articulate one of them, but we just don't know which one. We start now the next mission. We're on the top of Kuf Tesamet Aleph. So let me just go over a little bit of historical background. Now, the truth of the matter is tomorrow's daf, so we're going to go over the history in much greater detail. But right now, let me just paint a sketch picture of what we're talking about over here so that we all have a better understanding. Shimon HaTzadik, you've heard that name already numerous times. You open up at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, and you know about Shimon HaTzadik. He was my Mishayare Knesset HaGedola. That's the way it's described in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. He was one of the last men of the Great Assembly. As we go back into build the second base of Mikdash, so we go in with Anshe Knesset HaGedola, who are the last of the Nevi'im who help us build Bayis Sheni. A number of institutions that are made Anshe Knesset HaGedola, most notably is Shemoneh Esrei, that was instituted by Anshe Knesset HaGedola. And then, as the last members of Anshe Knesset HaGedola, so that was Shimon HaTzadik. He was a Kohen Gadol, and he served in the Beis HaMikdash in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. All this you could see in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. The Gemaras speak extensively how special a person was, how great a person Shimon HaTzadik was. Perhaps the most famous story regarding Shimon HaTzadik was him with Alexander the Great. See the Gemara elsewhere for more of that story. Fantastic. So when it comes to Shimon HaTzadik, this is unfortunately how life works, but in other words, Shimon HaTzadik, as great as he was, then we move on to his children. And things take a dark turn. So he had two children, he had two sons, one was Shimon, the other one was Chonyo, and it's not clear exactly which one rebelled against which, but we could just simply say, for our purposes right now, a schism between the two brothers. And right now, without going into detail, and come back tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll get much more details regarding the schism, what exactly happened. But but right now, suffice to say that it went sour. The relationship went sour. There was envy. There was jealousy. Which one was going to assume the position of his father? And again, making a long story much shorter, Chonyo, for reasons actually we're going to see tomorrow, was basically rejected as the Kohen Gadol. And so what did he do? He packed his bags and he went south. He went down to Egypt. He went to Alexandria, and he opened up shop over there. So in other words, so he opened up an alternative base of Mikdash in Alexandria. Okay, so if I'm not going to work over here, so fine. So I'll just simply make a replica elsewhere. So the breakaway base of Mikdash in Alexandria, by Chonyo. Was his heart in the right place? Was it L'shem Shemayim? Was it L'shem Avodah Zarah? So once again, I'm going to encourage you to come back tomorrow, where we're going to learn more about that. For our purposes right now, I know it's kind of funny to have this discussion without knowing whether or not the alternate Beis HaMikdash in Alexandria, let's call it from this point going forward, because that's what the Mishnah is going to refer to it, as Beis Chonyo, right? The house of Chonyo, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash. So is Beis Chonyo a house of worship of Avodah Zarah, or a house of worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So again, come back tomorrow. It is strange that we're having a whole discussion without clarity on that point. I admit that that's strange. Okay, so, and by the way, this Beis Chonyo lasted for years, centuries. The Gemara in Megillah talks about the Amoraim still making reference to Beis Chonyo, and that is, it's somewhere in the ballpark of 500 years after the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So it was there in Alexandria for many, many years. Okay, with all that stated, so now we're going to expose ourselves to a Mishnah, learn a Mishnah together. The Mishnah, admittedly, is going to be a little bit strange. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Hare alai ola. So a person accepts upon himself to bring a carbon ola. Again, that's been the theme of this parak here, the last parak of Menachos, where the person says hare alai, and what exactly is now he committing himself to. So right now, the case in the first case of the Mishnah is really simple. He says hare alai ola, yakrivena b'mikdash, so he offers it in the base of Mikdash. V'imikrivu b'veis chonyo lo yatsa. Now, if he takes it and he offers in base chonyo, he has not fulfilled his obligation. He hasn't fulfilled his neder. Now, it is interesting that the Mishnah over here is talking about the fulfillment of the neder. There are problems right now that are much larger than just whether or not he fulfilled his neder or did not fulfill his neder. Most notably, if there's a Beis HaMikdash around, and you take a carbon and you offer it anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, and here we're in Alexandria, we're in Egypt, so this is what's called Shchut Echutz. Shchut Echutz comes with it a serious punishment of the Torah. It's an Isser Kares. It's a Chiv Kares. So over here, admittedly, we're like not focusing on the largest problem when he offers a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that is notably Shchut Echutz and Ela B'chutz, admittedly. But right now we're just focusing on the neder aspect of the issue. He has not fulfilled his neder because his neder was to pledge and bring an Ola, and Ola can only be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Huh? Agreed. Agreed. We're saying the same thing. Meaning the focus of the mission is on the noder, not on the person who shechted. Agreed. Hare alai ola she'akrivenu b'veis chonyo. Now let's say the person makes the following commitment. He says, you know, I'm going to bring a carbon b'veis chonyo. Right? I heard about this place, right? I've never visited, but you know, Egypt, especially in the summertime, wonderful. So you know what? I'm going to take a trip down there. I'm going to go to Alexandria. And I'm going to offer a carbon in there, b'veis chonyo. So yakrivena b'mikdash. So now, he said the word ola. So you know what ola means? We all know what ola means. Ola means a carbon. Carbon can only be brought in the base of mikdash. So if he brings in the base of mikdash, so then good. V'imikriva b'veis chonyo yatsa. Now, but then the Tanakama says something which is almost impossible to understand. But it's the Mishnah and it's the Tanakama. And that is that if he brings the b'veis chonyo, he was yotzi. He was yotzi zayin his neder. Now, again, let's try to be very clear about this point. Meaning the focus right now is not on the Isser of Shchut Echutz and Hala B'chutz, and those are serious Isurim. The focus right now on the Mishnah is strictly on the Neder. Does he get a check for his Neder, yes or no? And according to the Tanakhama, oddly enough, and interestingly enough, the answer is yes. He gets a check for his Neder. Albeit, of course, that along with the satisfaction of his Neder, he or whoever shechted the animal did a serious Isser in the Torah. But, in other words, vis-a-vis his neder, so it's a check for the neder. Rabbi Shimon Amar Ein Zeh Ola. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, can we cut this off right at the pass? Rabbi Shimon says, I don't even understand, nothing gets off the ground. The neder wasn't binding. Now, if this Rabbi Shimon sounds familiar, it should sound familiar, because we had a Rabbi Shimon earlier in this perek that basically espoused the viewpoint of, this is not Derech HaNodrim. This is not the way that Nedarim are made. Meaning, if you're making an absurd statement, the Neder doesn't even get off the ground. So we have no Neder outstanding. There's nothing even to talk about. Now,
it's not Kedushin
at all. No, right. Hareini Nazir. Yigalech b'mikdash v'imgilch b'veis chonyo lo yatsa. Person says he's going to be a Nazir. Now, as we've said time and again, you know what Nazirus is? It's another form of a Neder. So the truth of the matter is that right now, it's the same thing again. Now, in the context of Nazir, so we know how Nazirus works. So when a person dedicates himself to be a Nazir without specifying the amount of time, so he'll be a Nazir for 30 days. And then at the conclusion of his Nazirus, if he counts the days correctly, without becoming Tamei somewhere in between, so now he finishes off by bringing a complement of Karbanos, three Karbanos in total, and the details all back in Masech the Nazir. But in the meantime, however, if a person says he's going to be a Nazir, so he's going to, if he brings his Karbanos, now, the language of the Gemara is Yigalech, which just simply means shaving, because that's part of the carbon process, is that he's going to be shaving off all of his hair. So as part of the carbon process, if he's Megalech b'mikdash, great. V'imgalech b'veis chonyo lo yatsa. If, let's say, instead of concluding his Nazirus in the base of Mikdash, he decides that instead of going north, he's going to go south, and he'll head down to Alexandria, and he'll shave and he'll bring the carbonos over there in Beis Chonyo. He has not fulfilled his obligation, meaning the neder has not been completed, his nazirus has not been concluded, he did not bring the carbonos in the correct place. Let's say the person's declaration is as follows. You know, I'm going to be a nazir, And in his declaration of becoming a Nazir, and in his acceptance of becoming a Nazir, he adds to that that, and I can't wait to finish off my Nazirs down south in Alexandria, by Beis Chonya. So, Yigalech Mimikdash. So as far as what the correct procedure is, you go to the Beis Hamikdash, you bring the Karbanos to the Beis Hamikdash. However, but if he went and he did the Giluach, if he shaved down in Beis Chonya, brought the Karbanos in Beis Chonya, Yotze has fulfilled his obligation. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I'm going to emphasize. He's fulfilled his obligation vis-a-vis his neder. Meaning his neder was to bring something in Beis Chonya, and so be it. In other words, his neder will in fact be completed. And Rabbi Shimon Omer ain't a Nazir, and Rabbi Shimon, true to form, says no, the neder doesn't get off the ground. The Nazir doesn't get off the ground. Since the statement was an absurdity, because there is no such thing as finishing off your Nazirus in Beis Chonya, that's not the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, we have no neder to begin with, there's nothing even to talk about. There's no more discussion.
Correct.
And Rabbi Shimon must, right, and the Gemara made the observation earlier, Rabbi Shimon must not hold like that position. Rabbi Shimon has to hold that we don't say Tfos Lashon Rishon, we don't cut off the person in the first part of the sentence, but rather, the Gemara said it earlier, right. Rabbi Shimon subscribes that you have to take the totality of the statement.
Okay, okay. Rabbi Meir was the one.
Who said. Right, correct.
What,
right.
You said that if you make a netter that goes against the Mishwan and Torah, then it's not a binding
right, minute. Right, good. So Ben asked the question, so over here what he's doing is he makes a netter and it's connected to the Torah, and so generally speaking, when you make a Tanai that goes against the Torah, so the Tanai, the neder is binding, and the Tanai, we just ignore the Tanai. So and it's so interesting because the Gemara does not raise your question. It's such a good question. There is a Tosfos in Kedushin that discusses your question. Okay, it's excellent. I'll show you afterwards the Tosfos, and you know, and we can go over some of his points. But it's really an excellent question. So Yatzah Hamikdal Katle. So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Shchut Echutz. Like, what's going on over here? So he's offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. So it's like, what is happening over here? So Amrav Amnuna Nasikal Meharei Alei Ola Amanashlo Ichayev Bachriyosa. So the Gemara says, well, the way we're going to understand it is that it's as if the person says that I'm going to be bringing an Ola, but no personal liability, no recourse. In other words, it's as if the person's saying it's not a neder, but rather it's an adavah. Let's take a look together at the top Rashi and the Gemara, not the first one, but the second one, Amar Rav Amnuna. Came into Amar Amanas Shakrivena Beves Chonyo. Look, let's try to take apart what the person's saying. He's saying that I'm going to bring a karban on the condition, I'm going to bring an ola on the condition that we're going to head down to Beves Chonyo. Have ki'ilu Amar Amanashe Ahargenu V'aloa Chaye Bachriyusa. You know, it's basically tantamount to saying, you know what, we're just going to kill the animal. And I'm not going to be subject to any kind of liability. In other words, it's not a neder. And that's why, vis-a-vis his neder, he's fulfilled his obligation, because essentially what he's saying is, hey, you know what? Let's kill this animal. In other words, by making the statement that we're going to go into Beis Chonyo, he's just basically saying, I want to kill this animal in Beis Chonyo. So, avachayv karis mishim shchut echutz, sharei kara ala shem ola. Now, it's true that vis-a-vis shchut echutz, you're going to be chayv karis. Whoever shechs the carbon, be it him or be it whoever, whoever shechs the carbon is going to be chayev on the isser of shchut echutz because he did employ the word ola. But vis-a-vis his neder, and I know that's a tricky part of this whole sugya, is separating neder from shchut echutz. But vis-a-vis his neder, the way we're understanding it is, hey, let's kill the animal in Beis Chonyo. And did he do that? Yes, therefore he has fulfilled his neder.
He says here, I'm not sure it's high, but he says it's
like an adobo. Right.
So who was makdash this behemoth?
Meaning he was makdash the behemoth. The behemah has kedusha.
The behemah has kedusha.
Yeah, in other words, the word ola was employed, right? And even though he said hare alai, but in other words, by virtue of the fact that he said beves chonyo, so it's keilu. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. It's keilu. It's as if he said that this animal should be killed in beves chonyo. But in other words, but not giving himself any kind of personal liability. So Amalei Rava lemiatsa sefer diktani arein inazir shagalech beves chonyo galech bemikdash v'imgilach beves chonyo yatsa. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know there were two parts of the Mishnah. And let's take a look at the second part of the Mishnah, where instead of just it being a simple case of Ola, it is a case of Nazirus. Now, what do you want to say over there? You want to say the same shot? Hachinami denasi kama arena nazir amnashalo ichai bachrius karbanosav, nazir kama delo maisi karbanosav lo miskashir. By Naziros, there's no such distinction of neder versus nedava. When you're a Nazir, you're on the hook. The only way to conclude your Naziros is by you bringing karbanos. You can't just simply say, hey, you know those animals? Those are Nazir karbanos. No, they're not Nazir karbanos. They're your Nazir karbanos because you're the Nazir. So this kind of understanding, interpretation of the neder in the Mishnah certainly doesn't work in the second half of the Mishnah. So Amar Rava, Adam Zela Doron is Kavin. So Rava says, okay, so you're right. And look, as far as the second case of the Mishnah, you know what it is? It's a gift. Meaning, basically, here's what he's saying. He's saying that, you know what? That shul down in Alexandria, I'd like to make a donation to that shul. Okay, I know he thinks it's a base of Mikdash. Good for him. I'm happy for him. Or whoever's running the show down there. So, and remember, by the way, the Mishnah is being written hundreds of years after it was set up. So it wasn't Chonyo himself that was there. Whoever was serving down there, I'd like to make a donation to that shul. And let's call it Nazir Karbanos. In other words, it's really nice I call them Nazir Karbanos. They can't really be Nazir Karbanos because that's not the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is up north, not down south. So let's call it just simply a gift. Amar Isagya Beveis Chonyo Tarchana Tvei Lamed Sin Litzterui. So Nazir Nami Hai Gavre Litzterui Nafshei Kamachavein. Amar Isagya Beveis Chonyo Tarchana Tvei. I'm sorry, Tarchana Tvei Lamed Sin Litzterui. And look, and as far as, oh, but wait one second, didn't he accept Naziris upon himself? And the Gemara says, yes and no. Meaning, he accepted the ascetic lifestyle of the Nazir. Meaning, look, I need to take a break from wine, I need to take a break from grapes, I want to take a break. Now, by virtue of the fact that he said Beis Chonyo, all he meant is I'm going to behave like a Nazir. I'm not going to actually become a Nazir. Meaning, I don't want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the guy lives all the way down south. If the guy goes to the Beis HaMikdash, if I live close to the Beis HaMikdash, fine. All I'm doing right now is choosing the ascetic lifestyle of a Nazir. I'm going to, for the next 30 days, just, you know, swear off wine. And you know what? I'll go down to Beis Chonyo, and I'll give him some gifts. Practice. Right? In other words, animals. But this is not formally Naziros. The animals are not formally Karbanos. Okay. Rav Hamnuna, Amalacha Nazir Kedekamart. Now, Rav Huna will tell you, you know what? That's a beautiful pshat by Nazir. Meaning, that's the way we're going to understand it by Nazir. But Ola, Amanash Lo Yizchai Bachriyusa Kamar. But when we go back to Ola, however, I really prefer my first pshat. Meaning, by Ola, the reason why the neder has been accomplished is because, by virtue of him saying that I'm going to bring this Ola in Beis Chonyo, it's not a neder, but rather it's a nedava. Vaf Rav Yochanan Savala Allah Rav Hamnuna. Now, Rav Yochanan agrees with this pshat as well. Damar Rav Abrachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Harei Alai Ola, Shakri Venebe Beis Chonyo, Vikruva Baret Yisrael Yatsa. Ve'enosh Kares. You see that the Braisa is in agreement with this pshat. That even though he said I'm bringing the Ola Beis Chonyo, so it's still a karbon. It's not just doron, it's not a gift, it's a karbon. And I know that because the Braisa says that if I shechted anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, even though I shechted in Eretz Yisrael, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're chayv kares, meaning it is shchutei chutz, meaning it is a Braisa. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara quotes this as it is a karbon. And the Braisa makes exactly the same point. Meaning that when a person dedicates a karban, even though he's saying that I'm not going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm bringing it anywhere else, it's still a karban. The fact that you said that you're going to bring it somewhere else, it just simply changes it from a neder to a nedava. But it's a karban. And if you shechted it anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're subject to shechutei chutz. Okay, and let's start the next mishnah, let's start the next sugya, and we're just going to move to the middle of the next amud. HaKohanim Sheshim Shebeveis Chonyo. Okay. And as long as Beis Chonyo came up on the docket, on the agenda, so now let us discuss Beis Chonyo in some greater detail. Let's say you have Kohanim serving in Beis Chonyo. Now, again, as I mentioned in the beginning of the introduction to Beis Chonyo, it's kind of an important question to clarify whether or not Beis Chonyo was a house of idolatry or was it a house of worship and a house of an attempt to be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though obviously it's the wrong location. Now, I know that's an important question, but and we'll discuss it tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, what we're looking right now is any coin that serves over there, is that coin going to be censored? Is that coin now going to have a stigma of you're a kohen esrof in the Beis Chonyo, you're not invited anymore to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, HaKohanim sheshimish beBeis Chonyo lo yim sheshu beMikdash beYerushalayim. And so the Mishnah says, censorship. You served in Beis Chonyo, that's it. You're not serving in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ein Tzarech.
Aren't they getting karet? Because they do sex for
it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, for sure.
Karet.
Yeah, for sure.
So why aren't really any recognition at all?
Well, let's say they do tshuva.
For karet?
Yeah, sure. I'm open to the idea. So the I like the sound of it. Now, if they're serving bona fide idolatry, then it goes without question. In other words, once they identify themselves with Ovid Avodah Zarah, so then obviously, says the Mishnah, they are now banned and barred from the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, achlo yalu kohanei abanos al mizbech Hashem Yerushalayim, kim achlo matos besoch acheyem arei elu kebali momem chokin v'ochlim v'lo makrivim. Now, in terms of what status they have from this point going forward, so interesting, the Mishnah says they're like now they're like kohanim with a physical blemish. Meaning, even though what they did was spiritually wrong, but halachically, we're going to put them in the category of having a mum. So we know the halachi is regarding a kohen that's a baal mum, cannot do the avoda. And interestingly, however, even though a kohen baal mum can't do the avoda, yeah, but can receive part of the karbanos in order to eat. So although he's banned and barred from the Beis HaMikdash in terms of shares, in terms of service, but ochlin, but they're allowed to eat. We'll talk more about that also in the upcoming Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda kohen sheshachal avos kochavim karbano. Now, the statement of Rav Yehuda really needs clarification because you read it, you translate it, like literally, like it's hard to grasp. A kohen that shechs for avodah zarah, so his carbon has reich nicholach. Now, it means like this, and Rashi spells it out. In other words, historically, he was a kohen that went astray, went off the reservation, way off the reservation. Instead of being a kohen serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his past, he has on record that he shechted for avodah zarah, but that's all he did. Meaning, in other words, in the totality of how far he went off the derech, he shechted for avodah zarah. But then, full tshuva, and he comes back, and he repents, and it's sincere, and we know it's sincere, and now he wants to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Yehuda is quoted as saying, he can be reinvited, and he can serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why? And that's what he means by the way when he says, karbano reich nichalach. Meaning, of course, not the carbon that he shechted for avodah zarah, but in other words, after tshuva and after he comes back, now from this point going forward, karbanos that he offered are reich nicholach. Now the Gemara goes on to clarify. Am Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Maikra. Now, based on what pasuk the Gemara quotes from Yechezkel, Yanasher Yisharsu Asam Lifnei Gulaim VaYula Beis Yisrael LeMichshol Avon Al Kein Asasi Yadi Aleihem No Hashem Elokim VeNasu Avonam. So the Navi Yecheskel says, "V'nasu avonam, I'm going to carry their sin," meaning lifted. They're allowed entrance back. Uksiv basrei v'lo yikshu alai l'chayin li. So iavid sheris in, however the pasuk and the Navi goes on to say, but they can't serve me anymore. Meaning, as far as giving them a pardon, I'll give them I'd like to say a full pardon, not a full pardon, but in other words, they want to come back. By all means, they can come back. But once they serve the Avodah Zarah, so they can't come back and serve in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. And the Gemara says, so Yavid Sheiris in, Shechita Lav Sheiris Hu. But in other words, but if all he did was Shechting is not Sheiris. Interesting position of the Gemara, and we've heard this before throughout Menachos and Zvachim. In other words, Shechita Lav Avodah. Right. That when it comes to Shechita, so Shechita is not quote-unquote service. Now, I understand that that's always a complex issue to untangle, because if you shecht for avodah zarah, right, that's an isser, that is being ovid avodah zarah, and we know that if a kohen has a machshava when doing the act of shechita of a karban, so that is a registered machshava which can create pigol. So I understand that there's some balance that you have to have when saying that shechita is lav avodah, but in terms of who could do shechita, so the answer is in terms of who could do shechita. Anybody could do shechita. You don't need a kohen to do shechita. Okay, and we quote the Rashi all the time, where Rashi says, by virtue of the fact that you see that a non kohen could do shechita, means it's not avoda. And how do I know it's not avoda? Because a non kohen could do shechita. And Rashi always brings us into that cyclical loop of Well, one halacha explains the other halacha. And Tosos elsewhere goes through other explanations of why we know that Shechita is Lav and Avoda. But in the meantime, however, Rav Yehuda says, look, if all this Kohen did was just Shechar Avoda Zara, so again, he's far off the reservation. That point's clear. But in other words, it's not Sheris. And so when he does Tshuva, he can come back and he can actually serve in the base of Mikdash, Itmar. And on this now, the Gemara is going to have basically a machlokas. Itmar. Shagag bezrika Rav Nachman Amar Karbon Orech Nichoch, Rosh Hashanah Amar Ein Karbon Orech Nichoch. Let's say that this coin went way off the reservation and he was shogig bezrika. In other words, he did zrika for Avodah Zarah and he did b'shogig. Shogig over here means that at the time, even though he was serving Avodah Zarah, he wasn't fully invested, he wasn't fully committed to the Avodah Zarah, but still he did it. So a machlokus between the Amorim, between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. Rav Nachman says when he does tshuva, he can come back, and Rav Sheshet says no, he cannot. We can't reinstate him, and we can't have him doing a vote again. I'm Rav Sheshet's man. I mean, Allah dichtiv ayula beisus al lemichshal oven. And as far as Rav Sheshet is concerned, go back to the pasuk in Yecheskel that we just quoted a little bit earlier. My lavi mechshal o avon umechshal shogeg vavon mezid. In other words, the navi was describing either it was a mechshal, it was stumbling, meaning he did it, but he wasn't fully invested. Or Avon, he did it and he was fully invested. And Rav Sheshet says, and in both cases, he can't come back and serve, right? The Navi we just quoted says that he can't be reinstated to do the Avoda. So, right, it says afterwards, Loi Gishu Alayla Chayinli. And as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, no, Michshol De Avon. No, the way he understands the Pasuk in Yecheskel, it's the Michshol of the Avon. They're not two separate categories. In other words, they're viewed as one category only when he was intentional about this Ovid Avodah Zarah, then and only then is he permanently banned from doing the Avodah here. I'm Rav Nachman, na min alav. Rav Nachman says, look, I'll support my position. Detanya v'chiper ha-kohen ala nefesh ha-shogeges bechatas, bishkaga. Melamed she-kohen miskaper al yidei atzma. A kohen can be providing a carbon for his very own aver. Now, b'mayilem ha-bishchita, mayir yashogeg afil ha-mezid nami. So the Gemara says, now, what was his avera? If his aver was shechting for Avodah Zarah, so we already pointed out, Shechita's Lav Avodah, and even though, again, he's far off the reservation, but that's not going to permanently ban him. Even if he shechted B'mezid, that's not going to permanently ban him. El Lav B'Zrika, so we must be talking about where it was Zrika. V'Rav Sheshet Tam Lecha Lo'olam B'Shechita, U'B'mezid Lo Naseh Mishar Slavot Kochavim, and as far as Rav Sheshet were concerned, no. As far as that Braisa, that Pasuk, and the understanding of that pasuk, it's talking about shechita. And the point is that even though he shechted, and even though he shechted b'mezid, he's not considered somebody who serves Avodah Zarah. V'azdu l'tamayu, and here again, the Rav Nachman Sheshes Machlokus comes out again. Ditmar, he's a b'shechita. If a person is mezid b'shechita, Rav Nachman or karbon oreach nichoach, Rav Sheshes Amar, ain't karbon oreach nichoach. So here, if you shech for Avodah Zarah intentionally, shechting for Avodah Zarah, and then afterwards you do tshuva and you come back. So how much are we accepting your tshuva? So Rav Nachman Amar Karbon Oreach Nichoach the Law of Sheris. Now Rav Nachman will tell you, look, I know he shechted for Avodah Zarah, and I know he did it b'mezid, but he did tshuva and he's back, and shechita is not an avodah. So Rav Sheshet Amar Ein Karbon Oreach Nichoach Naaseh Mishar La'Avodas Kochavim. And Rav Sheshet will say, even in that case, in other words, even though shechita is Lav Avodah, but he shechted for Avodah Zarah, and he's not to be reinstituted even after tshuva. He won't get a full pardon in that he will be banned from doing the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. I'm Rav Nachman Menami Nila Detanya Kohen Sha'avad Avodas Kochavim Vishav Karbono Reich Nichalach. So we know we have a brisa. The brisa does allow for a reinstitution of the Kohen doing the avoda. So b'mayilema b'shogeg my vishav shav omidhu. Now, how far off was he? If he was just so far off in the status of shogeg, okay, shogeg. So what kind of tshuva do you need by shogeg? Meaning, whatever you messed up in terms of your understanding, but you were not full blown intentionally violating the Torah. So the Gemara says, so it can't be talking about shogeg. So elopshita b'mezid. So v'ib zrika kishav my havi av and lasheris. Now we can't be talking about zrika because zrika that is an avoda for the avoda zara, and everyone agrees that if you are over the avoda zara with an actual service of zrika, So everyone agrees that you can't be reinstated. That's the pasuk in Yechezkel. Allah b'shchita, so must be talking about shchita. So that is all a proof for Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes am lachalolam b'shogeg. No, Rav Sheshes would say no. The price is talking about a case of shogeg. V'achi kamrim shav mi'ikaru d'chiyav b'shogeg. Avad karben areich nichoach. V'yam lavein karben areich nichoach. And Rav Sheshes will tell you no. The price is talking about shogeg. What do you mean? So what does it mean he does tshuva from shogeg? What it means is that if he would have remembered the halacha and he would have been more aware and more conscientious, so then he would never have done it to begin with. That's what it means when it says that he does tshuva. Hishtachav al avos kochavim. Okay, and basically now we're just going down the list. So far we talked about zrika for avodah zara. Everyone agrees banned. We talked about shchita for avodah zara. Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes comes out to be a machmer. Rav Sheshes will be a machmer in all of these cases. Now we're talking about a kohen bowing to avodah zara, barred or not barred. Rav Nachman amar karbono reich nicholach. Rav Sheshes amar karbono reich nicholach. And once again, Rav Nachman's position is after tshuva it can be reinstated, and Rav Sheshes says no, it cannot. So hoda lavodas kochavim, and let's go all the way now to the most extreme version of this discussion. Let's say he didn't do any type of temple service for avodah zara. Let's say he didn't bow to avodah zara. He just simply verbally acknowledged, I am a believer in whatever idolatry happened to have been popular at the time. Rav Nachman amar karbono reich nicholach, Rav Sheshes amar karbono reich nicholach. And once again, Rav Sheshes says, even with an admission, a verbal admission that he is going to be moded to avodah zara, so that now is going to bar him and ban him permanently from doing the avodah, even after tshuva. Utsricha di yashmin and hach kamaisa bahu kama Rav Sheshes mishum de avale sheras. Avashchita de lo avale sheras ema modele le Rav Nachman. And again, each one of them provides a separate chiddush. If all I had was zrika, so zrika is an avoda. But what about shchita? So I would have said that maybe Rav Sheshes agrees to Rav Nachman because shchita is not an avoda. V'yashmin shchita mishum da'av le'avoda, aval hashachva da'av le'avoda imalo. And if let's say we would have just had the machlokas by shchita, okay, shchita still is something. It's a maisa bowing down. You're not doing an act to something else. Now, granted, you're doing an action, but you're not acting on something else. So I would have said maybe Rav Sheshes wouldn't be so machmir over there. So tzricha v'yashmin eshachva mishum da'avilei maisa aval hoda the dibur ba'almayim alo. But if all we're just talking about is an admission, so I might have said that Rav Sheshes would agree that over there he didn't even bow down. He just made a verbal agreement, a verbal acknowledgement to the avodah zara. So maybe he's not, he shouldn't be banned. So kamash malan. So that brings us to the point of no. That even there, Rav Sheshes says it's going to be barred and banned. Okay, and we'll end off today with the following. So what we have seen now in our Gemara, the second half of today's daf, really interesting, is a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes about whether a kohen can be reinstated after he either served, bowed, or even acknowledged the avodah zara. Can he be reinstated after tshuva and doing temple and doing avodah in the Beis HaMikdash? Rav Nachman on all of them says yes, and Rav Sheshes on all of them says no. Now let's assume that the halacha goes like Rav Sheshes, okay, which is an assumption. So now, let's bring it now to the next level. So let's say you have a kohen nowadays who is involved in some sort of idolatry and now wants to come back. Now, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we do have kohen privileges. We have kohen in terms of aliyahs. We have kohen in terms of Birchas Hamazon. We have kohen in terms of duchening. And so now, I'll ask the question. I know it's a major discussion. So now, can such a kohen be reinstated in terms of doing these activities of the Kohanim? This discussion is not a new discussion. The Rishonim strongly debated this topic in terms of nowadays, can a Kohen be reinstated after tshuva to receive the first aliyah, to be able to duchen, etc., etc. A major discussion, all based on our Gemara right over here.